Hello and welcome. As you know, even though that music is from Two Guys Gaming, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, Noob of All Trades from Two Generations Gaming, and as you may be able to hear, I'm a bit sick. I'm getting over it, and I wanted to record this. That's how much I care about you and this show before I started the Poppy War. Actually, I already started reading the Poppy War because I'm so excited to get onto a new book. So hopefully that episode will be up. The first episode of that will be up quick. And I'm not 100% sure. I got to look at my calendar to see when I'll be able to do the movie versus of Jurassic Park. But that'll be up sooner rather than later as well. This is the final episode of Jurassic Park for Noob's Book Club. As you know, yay, we made it. 6 months later and we made it. In this episode, I'm going to cover the seventh iteration and the epilogue as well. As I always do, I will read the synopsis from SparkNotes. Thank you again, SparkNotes. If you want to, you know, throw me a sponsorship and we can talk. Actually, the SparkNotes page that I'm looking at, they only have the fifth iteration and the epilogue. So the sixth iteration and the seventh iteration must have been added in a later publishing date. Interesting little tidbit there. In any event, seventh iteration. Increasingly, the mathematics will demand the courage to face its implications. Ian Malcolm. Destroying the world. Hammond sighs, relieved that his dinosaurs have not gotten free to overrun the world. Malcolm calls Hammond an egomaniacal idiot for thinking that he could ever be directly responsible for destroying the entire planet. Man will never be able to destroy the planet, he contends. Under control. A helicopter and the Costa Rican National Guard are on the way. Grant, Sattler, Muldoon, and a reluctant Gennaro go to find the raptor nest to determine if any animals have gotten off the island. On the way, Grant explains how the dinosaurs were able to reproduce. Certain species of frogs can spontaneously change their gender when they are in an environment in which all of the animals are the same sex. The dinosaurs with the frog DNA, amphibian DNA, he stresses, therefore, must have retained that trait. Once they are at the raptor nest, Gennaro refuses to go down into the nest hole, but Grant says he must own up to his responsibility. Almost paradigm. Hammond takes a walk and muses that, even if Gennaro shuts down his island, he still has frozen embryos, safely stored in California. Tim and Lex fool around in the control room, playing a recorded tyrannosaur roar over the park's loudspeakers. Hammond hears the roar, and thinking that it is about to be attacked, trips and falls down a ravine. Descent. Grant and Sattler go down the hull of the raptor nest, and Muldoon forces Gennaro to follow. The large man-made cave is teeming with raptors of all ages. The three observe the animals as they seem to line up and suddenly all run down a concrete tunnel. Hammond is attacked and overwhelmed by a group of compies. Fuck Hammond. The beach. Grant, Sattler, and Gennaro follow the raptors emerging from the tunnel onto the beach. The raptors again line up in a northeast-southwest formation, and Grant assumes that they want to migrate. Approaching dark. Helicopters scare off the raptors while soldiers take Grant, Sattler, and Gennaro into a chopper where Muldoon and the kids are already on board. Muldoon informs them that Hammond and Malcolm are dead. The soldiers want to know who is in charge. They ask many, many times, but they are informed every single time that nobody is. This is FUBAR. That was a little side note on my account. Epilogue, San Jose. The government retains everyone at a hotel for questioning. Gutierrez comes in to visit and informs Grant that some animals have been eating local crops in a peculiar manner. They moved in a straight line from the coast into the mountain jungle, eating agma beans and soy, foods rich in lysine. The animals disappear into the jungle, and now no one knows where they are. Once again, thank you, SparkNotes, for that summary. I am open to a sponsorship if you are open to a sponsorship. And now for my reaction. Dinosaurs attack! He spends the better part of this section setting up Sattler, Gennaro, and Grant crawling into a raptor den. You assume, parenthetically, and he does a good job of playing up the suspense, and parenthetical, at some point, that the Raptors will attack, but in true Creighton fashion, he comes up with a clever reason why they don't. Overall, a very cool sequence of events, quite possibly my favorite of the entire book. A concise microcosm of Jurassic Park and what makes the story great. Aside from the excellent CGI work, this is the reason it endured for so long. Creighton also writes about dino-on-dino crime to drive home just how sideways this all went. I used the term FUBAR earlier, and I don't think I was wrong. They are described with little detail, so I only include them as a side note. And that, dear listener, is how Jurassic Park ends. In actual attack news, though, head bastard Hammond finally gets his. Fearful of a T-Rex attack, he runs and falls. Spraining his ankle, compies get him while he's climbing a hill to safety. Like Nedry, a bit too tame an end for the man. I'm just happy he died, though. A bad thing to say, but he's fictional. Maybe I'll only suffer a fictional karma demerit. Body count. I already mentioned the only notable death in the section, and I plan to talk more about it in a minute. Ian Malcolm, though, also apparently dies. I say apparently because the story goes that Creighton meant for him to die, then perhaps pressured by Hollywood and the success of the movie, he wrote The Lost World. So, Malcolm lives after all. I may have specifics wrong, but the overall point remains. Also, dinos died in the attacks, and after they nuked the island. And that, dear listeners, is how Jurassic Park ends. Side note, I never intended for that to become a catchphrase or a running gag, but now that it has, I'm running with it. You've been warned. Real stars of science. Only Grant and Sattler this time around. In true Creighton fashion, everyone else falls by the wayside, and we're left with the true heroes. I'm embarrassed to admit that it took me this long to recognize it. But hey, better late than never. This time, they risk life and limb, dragging Gennaro with them to figure out how many raptors are on the island. Then, once in the den, they interact with the murderous chicken lizards without the murder. Ellie notices some potentially odd, parenthetically synchronous at least, in parenthetical, behavior that Grant finally recognizes as a migration pattern. That whole sequence was very cool. It showed that the climax of an action-adventure story about giant murderous chicken lizards needed involved murder. Creighton again illustrated the virtue of brains over brawn. We salute you, Ellie and Alan, as real stars of science. And we salute you, Mr. Creighton, for bringing them to us. And now for what I liked least. I've said it before, but I will say it one more time. Fuck John Hammond. This asshole, this con man, this absolute degenerate liar and thief. When we say there are no good billionaires, parenthetically, though I don't know if billionaires existed when he wrote the book, end parenthetical. This is who we mean. I know, extremely broad. The left, parenthetical, as it is in this country, end parenthetical, sucks at messaging. The crux of the argument is that you don't amass billions of dollars without exploitation of some sort or another. See, too long and it just requires further explanation. So there are no good billionaires, which still requires explanation, and risks alienating an audience of billionaire simps. So even simpler, fuck John Hammond. Not only did he put pressure on his staff to cut corners and rush results, but when faced with his reckoning, he lashes out at these same people. Worse, they aren't there to defend themselves. As he impotently and eventually futilely tries to make it to safety, he unleashes a diatribe in his mind against everyone. Wu, Arnold, Gennaro, Malcolm, even his grandkids. The dick takes no responsibility for the fuck-up other than to say, I shouldn't have done this or that. Next time I'll do that instead. Absolutely deplorable behavior. And it wouldn't bother me if he was just a fictional character. But he represents nearly every dumb fucking Gordon Gekko wannabe that's fucking us every day and making our planet uninhabitable every day. For the good of humanity, eat the rich. They probably taste like bacon. And now for what I like best. I already talked about them some in the real stars of science section, but I promise more here. Malcolm, parenthetically surprisingly, Grant and Sattler all use science to advance their arguments. Those arguments on the surface are different. However, they ultimately argue the same thing. I will lay out the individual arguments and then weave them together in a hopefully coherent single argument. Here goes. Malcolm gets back on my good side by rambling under the influence about, quote-unquote, destroying the planet. Because he's an insufferable douche, he goes on about Hammond's hubris in thinking that he can destroy the planet. I mean, he's not wrong, but it weakens his argument, in my opinion. So what's that argument? Come on now, you know we often take some time to get to the main point of the section. Thanks for being patient. He argues that man can never truly destroy the planet. It's been here for millions, parenthetically billions, and parenthetical, of years, and will continue to be long after. Again, he takes the douchebag route of, quote-unquote, it'll be fine without us, to make his point. All he needs to say, and this is the point that I now make, is that we need to maintain the planet Earth for us. Save the Earth, again, is poor marketing by environmentalists. Hopefully it's not too late to change the message. Grant, on the other hand, tries to convince Gennaro that he needs to accompany them into the raptor den before the military comes to liquidate the island. Gennaro, understandably scared, resists. They threaten him, and eventually he relents. And again, we are reminded that the nature of the people using their argument against transsexuals isn't as cut as dry as they'd like. A strictly female population triggered a change of sex and produced 3 breeding raptor populations. And while the knee-jerk reaction now becomes screaming, woke, on your favorite social media platform, Crichton again explains the science behind it. Not that it matters, but it matters to me. In the interest of time and my sanity, I'm going to move on. I said that the two shared a common thread. So now is as good a time as any to make good on that promise. None of this should surprise you, but I'd be a terrible host if I left you even in that little bit of suspense. Both these warnings / admonitions come with the added advice, quote-unquote, take responsibility for your actions. Or, as Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility. Up until his death, Heyman throws around blame and accusations. Yes, he admits that he'd do some things differently, but most of that revolves around hiring different people because they are the ones who screwed up so badly. So all we got is another delusional, dead, rich asshole hoisted upon his own petard. One final time, fuck John Hammond. In the case of Gennaro and Grant, Alan says it outright several times. You created these things. No, your money did. Then you ignored every warning sign just to make a quick buck. Now, faced with the consequences of your actions, you want to run? No, screw that. You're going to face this, even if it kills you. Maybe, literally. Anytime someone is forced to face the consequences of their actions or thoughts, it's okay by me. I'm a teacher and a father. Consequences are kind of my jam. So again, Mr. Crichton, thank you. Thank you for validating my worldview. Before we get finished, time for an aside. Lately, it feels more and more like that worldview, parenthetically, and others are obsolete, at the very least, endangered. Can I tell you a secret? Of course I can. It's my podcast. I can do whatever I want. Well, here goes. This country, and to some extent, the world, became so cartoonish, such a parody of life, that I sometimes think I died about a decade ago, and this is purgatory. Crazy, huh? That's why I was hesitant to say it. The thing that really pushed me is Trump getting elected president. Actually, that one I can explain away. You're pissed and you're desperate and you want change. This guy promises it. He's not a politician, by name. I mean, he checks all the boxes. So you take a chance. The thing that really messes me up is that people still follow him and hold him up as some paragon of humanity. He's loud, ignorant, oafish, insulting, and vindictive. I called him 2 things in the past. A, the complete antithesis to everything I believe. And B, the kid who didn't do the required reading and still tries to be a part of the class discussion the next class. When he inevitably fails, he lashes out at everyone else, refusing to take credit for not doing the work and for his own ignorance. I knew there were people like that out there. I guess I just underestimated how many still considered that behavior honorable. So yeah, I appreciate when people get their comeuppance. We need laws and regulations to save ourselves and ensure our survival. Not a popular opinion, but let me put on my dad teacher voice. I'm not here to be your friend. And now for my final thoughts. Quite a bit to say there to the end, and I meant every word, except the purgatory bit. If that lands me in a facility, it was just a joke. Hell, I'm atheist. We don't even believe in purgatory, but I stand by the rest of it. However, you might argue that religion is just a series of laws and consequences. A, there's not enough time to go into that right now. And 2, nobody listens to this show anyway, so what's the point of even getting into it? Unless anyone genuinely wants to have that conversation? Well, just live with the inconsistency for now. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.2guysgaming.net. We have articles. I just did an article on, or a couple articles on Fallout 2. I'm going to do the article on Episode 7 of the Fallout TV show tomorrow, as we're in the middle of our Fallout from the End of the School for June 2024. There's not currently another podcast, but who knows? it might pop up again. It pops up when you least expect it. There's also a link to our YouTube, which is currently non-operational, but I'm working to get caught up on the calendar so that I can get restarted on July 1st, which will be like the halfway point in the next 6 months. Hopefully we'll establish it as an ongoing series again. This is the last episode of Jurassic Park. I have to do the movie verses, but like I said, I don't know when that's going to happen. Maybe the weekend. And I am on to the Poppy War, which should be up pretty soon because, as I said, I already started reading it. And I will just have to then take my notes. I will be back with that episode soon-ish, hopefully. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are two guys game.